Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. All right. Some of us have been up for the Bloom Festival kind of early this morning. Not me. It's worth it, though. He looks like it's worth it. Doc Passmore, it's good to have you back. We're just about giving you a visitor's card. He said, wait a minute, I know him. Just a minute. Good having you back, Doc. Let's open God's precious word to 1 Corinthians. We'll finish chapter 3 this morning. Let's begin with the word of prayer. And purpose of the prayer is to test yourself that you're trusting the Spirit who is the true teacher. Let's pray. Father, this book is so precious. And as things get more and more tense in the time in which we live, we need to be in this word more and more. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the writing and the preservation of this word by your Spirit. But now we pray that your Spirit will illuminate, open up the truth here for us, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. And this may be one of those kind of mornings where we may be through 15 minutes early. I wouldn't count on it, but we may be through 15 minutes early. We may be through 15 minutes late, and you can kind of more count on that. And but let's look at verse 20. And the Lord, and again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise that they are useless. Now the King James says that they are vain. The NIV, that they are futile. So we have useless, vain, futile. All three of these interpretations come from the Greek word mataiosis, M-A-T-A-I-O-S, means to of no purpose. The fundamental root of the means no purpose, therefore useless, therefore vain, therefore futile. And it means vain, empty, fruitless, aimless. All of these words are sufficient for the Greek word. The thinking of man has no purpose. It's empty of value. And people, I think, if this has ever been more clearly seen than the time you and I live all over the world. It's just vain, useless, and futile. They had an article this morning in the Dallas Morning News. I think this is hilarious. Where the courts will not allow them to take off of the voting row those that are on the dead row over there or somewhere else. But if you're dead, you cannot be taken off of a voting row. I mean, explain the reasoning. Now, I know LBJ got away with that a lot. There were counties that had more votes for him than there were people living in the county, voting people. But the thinking of man is just empty. That there is no God, that the world just somehow came about. All these things, it's futile, it's empty. And the point is that man's life is empty. If your thinking is empty, your life is empty. Your work is fruitless, without any purpose. And the purpose is like that of an animal, just right now. An animal doesn't think about dying, think about all of these things, just right now. And that's the way our society is becoming. And when the further you get away from Christ, the further you get away from any reality or usefulness in your life. Okay, that's verse 20. Now we come to verse 21 through 23, which is so vital We're just going to read it, and then we're going to talk about it. But if you just think of the words, you go, this is crazy. This is Dale Carnegie stuff. But let's take a look at it. Verse 21. So then let no man boast in men, for all things belong to you. Well, I'll just go live in that house down the street then. Not my street, that street over there. Straight Street. That's where I'll pick up one and just start living. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Peter, or the world, or death, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all things belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to you. Now, people, just if you read this and you go start telling people this, they're going to think you're crazy. I mean, we already thought you were a little nuts believing in God. Then we knew you were a little nuts believing that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world and rose again. Now you say that everything belongs to you, everything is yours, you know, get out of my house. So, what's going on in this passage? Now, first thing I want you to know is that there's no verb here. The NASB translates, belong to you. That's not correct. There's no verb here. The King James and the NIV correctly are yours. Just a slight difference, but the emphasis is it changes a little bit. So, are yours is to be preferred here. But note this phrase occurs twice, verse 21 and 22, with a slight variation in verse 23. With a final declaration in 23, finalizing the point Paul is making, you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Forget the word belongs. Just doesn't fit there. And whenever I say these kind of things and I choose the King James, Brian goes to Jennifer. See that, coach? It's King James. See that? I told you. It's King James. It's a King James. I told you. We have a lot of fun in our 1 o'clock class with Brian. He'll be reading along in the King James, and he'll say, "And the Holy Ghost." And we'll go, wait a minute, what? The Holy Ghost. And so he got us the other day, though. What would you say?
It was the Holy Ghost for 1,000 years.
Yeah, it's the Holy Ghost for 1,000 years. So I do prefer the King James and the NIV here are yours. Now, if we start off concentrating on that last verse, 23, it'll start making sense. You are Christ, and Christ is God. So we go back to what we know, that all things are God's. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to 21 and build. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. It has to be in that context that we understand what Paul is saying. You can get really weird with these three verses, or you can understand them in context. And the context is boasting in men, boasting in man, boasting in denominations. Boasting in some preacher. Boasting in these things. Boasting in your husband and wife. Boasting in your children. Boasting in your parents. And what we mean by boasting, we'll come to it in a minute, but we're talking about boasting. People are talking about, this is my identification. I'm identified with this person or movement. I'm identified with it. This is where I belong. And so, boasting about just who they follow. Who they listen to. Not that different than what we are today. In fact, it may be worse today because we have television, we have radio, television, internet, and I started to say tapes, but tapes are pretty much out now, except for Jim Langston. He still makes a few and sends them out. But disc, so that we can really follow a man, and it just becomes really difficult. So the first starts out, so then. Paul now announces a conclusion on the urgency of the condition of the Corinthian believers. And he now addresses the people, let no one boast. It is amazing how man has to identify himself with something other than Jesus Christ. People, think about it. There are people in America, and well, through the whole world, really, who have to identify with some sports team. In the world, it's soccer. And I mean, they get really violent. They will kill. They'll trample on people. And in America, football, basketball, baseball, all these things. And we're just so identified with them. There are people that if your team loses, you're just really totally depressed. You're depressed till they play again. And they keep getting beaten, you're just continually depressed. But there are people that do this. This is their life, that identification. In the spiritual realm, denominations with certain people. I mean, look at all of the clamor about a horrible person named Muhammad. And I don't know what the little clip of the film said, but I'm sure it's true. The man was a gangster. He justified killing for his purpose, violence to believe in what he was doing, and it's just amazing how horrible he was. Married to little girls, and just so many things. But you bring out the truth, and people go crazy. And in America, we want to take away your freedom to do that now because that offends somebody. You're not allowed your thinking. You're not allowed to talk in America. Freedom of speech is really out unless you agree with what's going on. But you're not allowed to speak out against things that are accepted in our society. You're just not allowed to. And you can be fired, reprimanded, fined, and all these kinds of things in our society, if you use your freedom of speech, and not in violence, just your freedom of speech, it isn't in existence anymore. People want to be identified with a denomination or some movement. And so, look at chapter 1, verse 29. Chapter 1, verse 29, that no man should boast before God. We studied boasting. We studied a whole doctrine. We're not going to repeat it. Verse 31 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. If you want to take up an identity, people, it's got to be in the Lord. It's got to be in the Lord. There's a front page article this morning in the Dallas Morning News. I mean, a big picture. I imagine if you took up an ad, it would be several thousands of dollars for this. Well, it's got to be a lot more than that. It's $1,000 to have your obituary now. So this would have to be $10,000 for front page size. This whole story is about what this church is doing in Dallas to help people find jobs, which is commendable. Jesus Christ was not mentioned one time. Not one time. In the entire article. It's about how they're helping people find jobs, which I said is commendable. But is that what a church is for? Is that what we're here for? What about Jesus Christ? You get someone a job, let's say they keep that job for 20 years, which I doubt, but let's just say they do. They keep the job for 20 years. What's that compared to all eternity? What's that compared to eternity, people? We're just so impressed and absorbed with the wrong things and boasting in the wrong things. All right. Now, here we are boasting in different men in our passage. Some want to say that boasting is a characteristic of the Greeks. Aristotle, Plato, Socrates and all. But people, this is characteristic of man. To be identified with some man. To be identified with some movement other than Jesus the Christ. It's just amazing. And our ups and downs, emotional ups and downs, are dependent on that person. Just really dependent upon them. And it just, this is not a characteristic of the Corinthians. This is a characteristic of man. To have to be identified, want to be identified with some man, some movement, some person, all the way through history. People, we've got to reach the point where our only identity is Jesus Christ. He is our only identity, is Jesus Christ, not man. And people, I mean, and we got verses, even not even your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, as far as your identity is concerned, your identity is Jesus the Christ. That's your identity. Time and eternity. This is our identity. Okay, let's take up just a few points and then we'll move on. We're not going to study the doctrine of boasting again, but let's note a few things. One, to boast here means to boast of one's relationship or identity with some person. In other words, to take honor from or by belonging or following some man. And if we think about it objectively, that's really ridiculous. But when we're doing it, oh, well, this person's worthy of it and all these types of things. No, it isn't. People, you should respect your pastor teacher. If you don't, find another one that you can and do respect. You definitely should respect and trust his ability in handling the Word of God. But you don't boast in him. He's not your identity. Not one by one little bit. It's only the Lord who is our identity. And most of those who are guilty of boasting in some pastor, denomination, total denial. No, I don't worship him. Just don't disagree with anything he said. And people are in denial. Don't be in denial. If you're not involved in following or being identified with some member of the human race, they deceive themselves that they are doing this. But before God, it's exactly what they're doing. They're not occupied with the Word. They're occupied with the man. That's it. And I remember when I first started seeing that we're filled with the Spirit by faith rather than by works of confession. It was just amazing. Talk to people. Well, wait a minute. That's not what Brother So-and-so teaches. No, it isn't. Well, then it's wrong. Don't you even want to hear what the teaching and the understanding of how faith for salvation, faith for spiritual? Nope. Can't be right. If it were right, he would have taught it. And people, when you reach that point in life, you're blind. This is what Paul is warning us about. You don't want to ever get that way. I'm not even that way about myself. I double check myself. People, we got to be careful with our identification. And as things get rougher and more tense in the world, we grab hold of something more to be identified with. We're identified with Jesus Christ. What's wrong with that? That's what we should be identified. And so don't be in denial. If you tend to dealing with a man, a pastor, or a denomination, or a movement, or a team, whatever it may be, allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to the truth of what's going on inside you. Point two. A believer should never boast or take honor or identification in man, but in the fact that he belongs to Jesus Christ. That's where this is going to end in verse 23. You are Christ. You, using the NASV word, you belong. But you are Christ, people. And why are we Christ? Why do we belong to Christ? Because he is the only one who came and died for us. He died on the cross and took our place of our sins. No one else died for you in a way that gives you eternal life. A soldier may die for his comrades, jump on the grenade. And that is honorable. But it doesn't give you eternal life. He didn't die to take your sins. He died to give you a few more days in your life. But Jesus Christ died that we can have eternal life. Point three. This is just the opposite of what the Corinthians were doing. They were boasting because they followed some man. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. With the result of what? The assembly splits. People, that's a shame. For an assembly to split over, well, I follow this person, I follow that person. I don't have time to listen to Paul, I follow Apollos. I don't have time to listen to Apollos, I follow Peter. Peter was, well, wait a minute now. Wait just a minute. We're talking about somebody who walked with the Lord. Yeah, we're talking about somebody who denied him. Well, that too. See? We've got to be very careful about this whole issue. Point 3. So just the opposite of what the Corinthians were doing. Point 4. Believers do not belong to a pastor. Believers do not belong to denominations. People, this means that no pastor, no preacher has the right to tell you how to run your life. Tell you what you should do on personal matters. He teaches the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit guides you. That's what happens. But these little cultic followings we have going on around the world, they want to be told everything they need to do. And that's a cult. And it's dangerous. Point 5. In fact, we see in reality the pastor teacher belongs to you. You don't belong to him. He belongs to you. He belongs to the congregation. Jesus Christ sent the pastor to a local church to bring them to a saving knowledge of him and to glorify him in their lives. And then finally, 6. We are to boast because we belong to Christ. Because we follow Jesus Christ. Because we serve Him. You're a temple of God. The sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. What these verses do... Yes? Nope. We come here to worship and study the Word of God. But as far as belonging and getting our identification, we get it from Christ. That's why I've often said, I like to use the illustration, you meet somebody and they say, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, you're immediately, well, I'm a Catholic or I'm a Presbyterian. And what's wrong with, I believe in Jesus Christ and I follow Christ. Hey, so do I. Let's go have a cup of coffee. But the moment you say I am of, then I've got to tell you what I am of, and immediately we got a division. Immediately, well, okay, so we can't, but if I follow Christ, well, I follow Christ, let's go have a cup of coffee. I don't drink coffee, but let's get the point. let's do that. But, so, that, do what? I can't identify with that. My wife has trouble identifying with that. But, boy, that was just off the cuff, and look what it caused. Brian comes in with 2 cups. this whole thing, people, that we're going to be seeing deals with stress, anxiety, and depression. If you will grasp verses 21 through 23, it should end all stress, all anxiety, all depression in your life. That's what I hope you will be able to see when we get through here. That's how important these passages, these verses are, if we understand them in context. So then let no man boast in men. Well, men contextually refers, and the context refers to pastor teachers. It can refer to anyone in life. All men, all pastor teachers are mortals with an inherited sin nature. You don't want to be identified with that. You want to be identified with Christ. Now he gets to the study. For all things belong or are yours. What does this mean? What does it mean, all things are yours? And if we can start understanding right here, in God's eyes, who and what we are, we should have no grounds for stress, anxiety, and depression. The particle translated far Why do we not boast in belonging to men? It introduces the marvelous grace of God. You are so boastful about things you claim are yours. Don't you know that all things are yours? You are so boastful while eating a steak. This is my steak. Don't you know you own the whole cow? That's what's going on here, people. If we got to understand our position before God, why do we stress anxiety and depression about what we have and what we don't have? If we understand who we are in Christ, all things are yours in time and eternity. You don't need to be depressed. You don't need to be stressed out about what you don't have and what you do have. Now, I'll cover all of this. It's just I'm building onto it. Here's the point. You don't belong to the pastor teacher. What is important is what he teaches you. That's what you want to own, is what he teaches you. The doctrinal truth that he lays out before you, that should become yours, not him. Now we look at the phrase, all things are yours. There are no verbs here. There's no verb belong. In verse 21, 22, and 23, to really grasp this verse, we have to start at the end of verse 23. You are Christ, and Christ is God's. Let's start with that. Let's start understanding that, and then the other part will flow. Okay, the question. Are all things God's? I'm asking, are all things God's? Yeah. Nobody has a problem with that. All things are God's. Is Jesus Christ God's? Does Jesus Christ belong to God? So we put a verb in. Does he? Yeah. All right. Are you in Jesus Christ? Are you in Christ? All right. Therefore, all things belong to you. All things belong to God. You said yes. Jesus Christ belongs to God. You said yes. You belong to Jesus Christ. You said yes. Then all things belong to you. We got to understand in what respect are all things Jesus Christ. See, this is a difficult thing to deal with. Jesus Christ, in the Bible it says, he had no place of his own to lay his head. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, another man's tomb. But yet all things belong to him. How is this working out in reality? That's the point. You've got to go to real reality, to reality. And reality is, you don't try to hold on to any one thing because all things belong to you. In Romans 5, what's our study in Romans 5? It's about relationship. Relationship with Adam, all die. Relationship with Christ, all live. Now we find our relationship with Christ here. All things belong to you. You belong to Christ. Our relationship, our dependency, our identification, our hope is in the one that we're holding on to. People, let me just digress here for a moment. In America, for years, decades, many Christians have held on to their relationship, their hope, in the Constitution of the United States of America. People, it's a beautiful document, but nowhere does it have a guarantee that it will abide forever. Nowhere. It will not abide forever. It's going to be doing good to abide for 250 years. So, this, and I don't want this to sound anti-American or anti-Constitution. This Constitution has nowhere declared that it will abide forever. And people, if we remember the words of one of our founding fathers, John Adams, who said, our Constitution was made for a religious, that's Christian in that day and time, people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any other. People, do you understand inadequate? Do you understand inadequate? Do you understand that word? If John Adams is correct, and I believe he is, our Constitution is inadequate. Inadequate to govern America today. We are an immoral people. You don't have to go far to see that. We are an immoral people. We are a non-Christian people. They've taken the Bible out of the judicial system, the Bible out of the educational system. Let's talk about how Obama's got a new American flag. I hope he does. Because the flag that we've had for so long no longer covers America today. This Constitution no longer covers America today, people. You got to face reality. Look at America. We are not Christian or even believing in the God. We are not a moral nation. We advance and support and encourage immorality in this country, in our educational system, not just in the entertainment world. People, we cannot be identified with these earthly things. This book abides forever. This book abides forever. You got to put your confidence and your hope and our love into this book. Our identification in this book. This is where we are. We're an anti-God society. An anti-Jesus Christ society. And we need to get people back. If we're going to do anything, get them back to God. Get them back to this book. So, and our society today has no historical, from top down, no historical understanding of morality. No historical understanding of our forefathers. There's anything evident of our leadership in this country, they have no understanding of our founding fathers. They have no understanding of the Constitution. It's inadequate. It is for that kind of people. It is not for an immoral people. Immoral, lazy people need another kind of constitution. A constitution of force. A constitution that has control, violence. That's the only kind of constitution that's going to work. A constitution that we have is for a free-minded people who bear responsibility, morality. These kinds of things. We don't have that anymore. People, what are you putting your identification in? This book, this Bible, the Word of God, is for all people in all circumstances to tell them how to come out from that immoral state to a moral state. This is the only book that counts. This is the only book that gives us this hope. This assurance of eternity. All right, let's look at verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Peter, I want you to note he leaves out Christ. Christ is not in this verse, not in this list. Neither Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Christ. Look at chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. He leaves Christ out in chapter 3, verse 22, leaves him out. Why does he leave him out? Because people, we belong to Jesus Christ. We don't belong to Peter and Paul and Apollos. We do belong to Jesus Christ. These others are yours for their teaching. But not for your identification. God, you are Christ. Christ is God. All things are God's. All things are yours. In the sense that all things are God's. Don't get caught up. Especially a pastor and a pastor teacher. Or even a husband, a wife, a person. Get caught up in your relationship with Christ, people. That's what you want to get caught up in. Sometimes I'll read the obituary just to see if my name's in there, and it isn't, so I go on through that day. But it's amazing. Oh, this person. People, this is the last thing going to be said about you in the public. This person loved dogs. This person loved the Dallas Cowboys. This person loved this. Oh, by the way, send your money to such and such church. Nothing about Jesus Christ. Nothing about Him at all. People, you got to make up your mind, your identity. whom you're identified with. Paul is yours as a master builder. He laid the foundation for the church, which is Jesus Christ. Someone like Apollos is yours with his eloquent teaching of truth. Peter is yours because of his relationship with Christ. People, Lewis Berry Chafer is yours. He's the one that I learned to be filled with the Spirit by faith, not by works of confession, but by faith, where God does all the works. See? Alfred Plummer. Do you know who Alfred Plummer is? He's yours. He's yours. Let me tell you who Alfred Plummer is. He's one of the great grammarians in the Greek language in the 1800s. I've got every one of the books that we have by him. He's yours. There are so many wonderful men throughout history. Don't get hooked up on one. Don't get hooked up on one. There are so many that are so valuable. And God help any man. I don't need these great scholars. I don't need what God taught them. I don't need their input. People, this is what God has done. He's given us these great men who studied the Bible and teach the Bible. We are importantly linked with teachers throughout the ages of the church. Now, unfortunately, we are linked to some pretty lousy ones, too. But nevertheless, this is the whole structure of the church. Look what he says. All the world. In what way is the world yours? Especially when you consider that Jesus Christ, as I said before, had no place to lay his head. Buried in a borrowed tomb. Satan claims the world is his. He claims to be the ruler of the world. And how do we... This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. People, if we would just calm down. Just calm down. And realize that in Christ, the whole world belongs to you. The whole world belongs to you. We're just letting those people live in our mansion. We're just letting those people live in those beautiful homes. The whole world is ours in Christ. Calm down. Get your eyes off of owning this and having this and losing that and losing this. Stress, anxiety, and depression center on me. What I have, what I don't have, what I'm losing, what I can't control, whom I can't control. They won't do what I want them to do. That's the heart of stress, anxiety, and depression is sad. If we just sit back and relax, wait a minute. I'm in Christ. The whole world belongs to Him. The world is mine. And not just in some Dale Carnegie way, but in a true spiritual way of reality that should give us peace. You tell the works. How foolish is that? It has been said science is a religion, and in a way it is. The world should be ran by scientists. Should be ran by mathematical formula. All these types of things. People, we've got to relax. The world belongs to God. Everything in it belongs to God. Jesus Christ is God's. You are in Jesus Christ. All things are yours by that virtue. Just relax. Have peace of what you have now and will have in eternity. Now, how is this important to us in our daily life? Is this just romantic theology? Is this just Dale Carnegie theology? And, Martha, do you know who Dale Carnegie is? So you know who he is? Okay, so I'm not throwing somebody's name out there you don't know. Okay, all right. This isn't Dale Carnegie type theology, people. Of no real significance in life, just some kind of nice little thought you can carry around. Christian, you should understand these verses. Believe them. Have peace in them. And then stress, anxiety, and depression drift into the shadows. There's no place for jealousy. There's no place for jealousy of what others have and you don't. There's no place for arrogance of what you have and others don't. No place for either of those, jealousy or arrogance. We have peace. A relationship with Christ. Then he says, our life. What does this mean? That life is yours. Again, we go to Jesus Christ's own words in his prayer in the Gospel of John 17. Jesus Christ gives eternal life. People, eternal life is yours. That's what we're studying in Romans chapter 5. Eternal life is yours. This means that life you and I live right now is yours. And the Christian who has assured, who is assured of eternal life, should live each day to the fullest. There's a great man in history. His name is Dr. Doddridge. He's a pastor. He's also a hymn writer. We have one of his hymns in our hymnal, and unfortunately Hollywood has really made it a really great song, Oh Happy Day. But the song itself is great. But this man, by the way, one thing is so wonderful about this man, at his birth, he was one of the 16 kids. And when he was born, they thought he was stillborn, and they put him over on the side, and all of a sudden they looked over and he started moving. And he turned out to be a great congregational preacher and a great hymn writer. But I love what he wrote about this. He said, live while you live and seize the pleasures of the present day. Live while you live and give to God each moment as it flies. Lord, in my views, let both united be. I live in pleasure while I live in thee. And this way we've got to understand life. And if you have the understanding of the Word of God, you have the power of the Holy Spirit, this can be. No matter what you have or don't have. No matter what you're losing or gaining. We start losing in life. And I think we're headed that way. People committed suicide in 1929. The gray and everything, the stock market crash. Well, it can be getting worse. People, is your whole dependency and your identity and your hope of enjoyment of life dependent on what you have, what you don't have? Then you're in a sorry mess. Take it away, and if you fall apart, that lets you know you've been trusting the wrong thing. It can be your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, whatever. If you can take something away and that's the end of your life and you fall apart, that ought to wake you up to something. Christ isn't the center of my life. My full identity is not with Jesus Christ. It's with these other things or people or possessions. This is the point. I always used to like, oh, I still do, Errol Flynn movies, because in so many of them, he was always just happy-go-lucky. He was in the French Revolution in different places, and he would be in the very poor, and he was just happy quoting poems and all of this stuff. And I thought, you know, that's the ideal of a Christian. That's the way we ought to be. Whether we have or don't have, losing what we have, gaining what we don't have, whatever. We should have a joy in our soul. Given by the Holy Spirit. Given by who we are in Jesus Christ. So Paul here in 1 Corinthians 3 refers to our lives lived now with the purpose of and related to eternity. People do not grasp life so as to hold on to it. Just grasp life to fully enjoy it. And when your time comes to go home, you're ready for it. And that brings us to the next word. Or death. Or death. How is death ours? How is death ours? For me to live is Christ, and die is gain. That's how death is ours. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a beautiful line in one of her songs, death is a welcome guest. People, if you have the right attitude with Christ, you know what's going to happen the moment you make that movement from death, from here to here. It's a welcome guest. It's gain. Death doesn't own us. We own death. Ever heard of the grim creeper? That was an ideal of death. Death comes in, creeps in, and takes you. Everybody's afraid of him. People, death does not own us. Death is ours. Death is Christ. Then he says, our things present deals with our life here. Everything we do right now is for Christ. We find joy in it. In a way, now you got to be careful what I'm getting ready to say, because there's a lot of, I have a lot of buts into it. But people like the Amish have a decent attitude. Now their salvation is wrong. The spirituality is wrong. But their ideal of just living in the simplicity of life has a lot of advantages to it. That's the way we ought to live, with or without things. That whether I have these things or not, I'm happy in Christ. If I have them, I'm happy in Christ. If I don't have them, I'm happy in Christ. Whatever's going on. And if we're advancing in the knowledge of Christ, as Peter says, grow in the knowledge of Christ, everything present is ours. Then it says, are to come. Well, I think that makes sense to all of us. Things to come are ours. This is truly ours. Jesus Christ ruling on the earth for 1,000 years and then all of eternity future. Then we come to verse 23. And you belong to Christ, or you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Have you ever wondered why no religion has a Savior? They have prophets, great prophets. They have great men of wisdom. They have founders. But no religion has a Savior. No religion has a Savior. Christianity has a Savior. We have a Savior. Remember, Christianity is not a religion. Religions don't have Savior. We have a Savior. To be Savior, you must be God and man. This is uniquely belongs to Jesus Christ. He is the only God-man. And since no religion has a Savior, what are they then bound to? Think about this now. If you don't have a Savior, but you do believe in after death, then it's going to have to be on what? The merits of man. It's going to have to be on what man does. His performance, his works, his morality, his being good, his giving. Oh, giving's always big in religion. I mean, always big. You can always do well in your afterlife if you give a lot in this life, especially to us. Just is amazing. All of these things. I thought it was so humorous. I went and visited our friend Don Becker and when he lived in Cameron, Missouri. And, I mean, within a horse ride, a four-wheeler ride from his house is this big sacred land where the angels came to Smith. And I mean, it's all Joseph Smith and the Mormons, and it's all wired up with cameras and lights, and it's a sacred ground. And inside are the Ten Commandments of the Mormons at that time. Number two was tithing. You have to be sure you tithe. Tithe. To the Mormons. Yeah. Got to tithe to the Mormons. See? You got to give. People, it's just amazing if you think about it. We're the only ones with a Savior. And I feel sorry for Christians who don't understand the gospel and think you got to work. You got to earn. You got to be good or you'll lose your salvation. You got to be moral or you lose your salvation. What about our Savior? We're the only ones with a true Savior. But if you don't have a Savior, you're dependent on man. Man doing something. Man can lose. But under Christianity, and people, there are people under the umbrella of Christianity who believe you can lose your salvation, you have to work. They don't understand the Savior. They don't understand Romans 5. They don't want to sit through 5 months of Romans 5. But it's difficult. And this is why we're in such a mess under the Christian umbrella. You are Christ. Okay, question. Why do we belong, or why are we Christ? How did we become Christ? Possession of Christ. All right, point one. And 4.1, you've got to turn to the Lord's Prayer in John 17. Got to turn to the Lord's Prayer in John 17. But you might as well just turn to it, because we've got several of these points going to deal right out of the Lord's Prayer. All right, let's start out now. We're dealing with, why do we belong to Christ? Why are we Christ? Okay? 17, verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1, because it's beautiful. These things Jesus spoke, lifting up his eyes to heaven. Well, we know this is not the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, because in that prayer, he is down on the ground. So these are two different prayers. He said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Now, verse 2. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him. People, we belong to Jesus Christ because God the Father gave us to Jesus Christ. If you believe in God, and you believe that all things are God's, God gave to Jesus Christ all members of the human race. Look at verse 6 and 7. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou hast givest me out of the world. Yours they were, thou hast given them to me, and they have kept thy word. That is the gospel. Now, they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. Does God the Father have the right to give Jesus Christ whom he pleases? Yes. Who is he pleased to give to his Son? All who believe in him. So the first reason we belong to Jesus Christ is because God the Father has given us to Jesus Christ. Point 2. God the Father gave to Jesus Christ everyone who believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. That is keeping his word. Look at verse 6. I manifested thy name. And at the end it says, they have kept thy word. What is the word? The gospel. They have believed the gospel. Look at verse 8. For the words which I gave, which thou gave me, the gospel you gave me, I have given them, and they received them. And truly understand that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. So, the second reason we belong to Christ is because we have believed in Christ as Savior. 3, the third reason we are Christ. Jesus Christ has given to us His life. Jesus Christ has given to us His life, eternal life. Look at verse 2. Even as thou, Father, gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ gives him eternal life. And the fourth reason we are Jesus Christ is we are one in him. We are one in him. Verse 21. Therefore, you are now you too now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heirs and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes you your joy away from you. That's verse 22. Verse 21. I think that didn't sound right. Verse 21. Whenever I'm not even in the right chapter. All right, verse 21 of chapter 17. That they may all be one. Even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe thou didst send me. People, you take these passages in John 17, add them to what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 3 about how we are in Christ, or we belong to Christ, Christ belongs to God, all things belong to us. All these things are part of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I want to close with a couple of points from Zodiates on what it means negatively that we are Christ. Let's just note a few things that he pointed out. One, we are not our own. If you understand you are Christ, you're not your own. The whole world doesn't revolve around you. You may not get your way. We are not our own. We do not belong to ourselves. Therefore, we are not here for ourselves. We're not here for our advantage. As John said, he must increase, that I decrease. Two, we don't belong to the world either. We're not of ourselves, don't belong to ourselves, and we're not of the world. We don't belong to the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. In strict understanding, we do not belong to our parents. We do not belong to our husbands, to our wives. We belong to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, let me read it to you. Matthew 10, 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. People, you love anyone, anything more than Christ, you're not worthy to be of him. You are maybe of him as a believer, but you're not worthy. You're not really worthy to be of him. And finally, we do not belong to a church or a denomination or a movement. We belong to the universal church of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, by belonging to him, is our security and our safety, our assurance of eternal life. So these closing verses are powerful if you grasp them in your daily life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take these words that we've seen here, go over them and over them and over them, to become a reality in our soul and in our lives, to remove all stress, anxiety, depression, fear, worry, jealousy, being content in who we are in Christ. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.